When I was younger, there used to be a TV or a radio program called The Dr. Demento Show, which really got me into Weird Al, but that's a whole other story. The reason why I mention him is because I heard this song by satirical lyricist Jim Lear, who had a song called Poisoning Pigeons in the Park. A lot of people don't agree with this, and I certainly don't, of course. That's just me. I would never want to poison a pigeon. But I played this song every year on the first day of spring, mainly because the first words is, spring is here, life is Skittles, and life is beer. I thought that that was apropos. So today what I'm going to talk to you about is in bulk. Now, there's many things that people could say about the goddess Brigid, and that's why the topic of my sermon today is the goddess Saint Brigid. A lot of people think that they're the same person, but they're really two different people. But the nice thing about it is that when you're a Christian, things get combined. So in order to keep the peace in my family, we just kind of conceded the battle to win the war, just like Emperor Constantine did. Conceded the battle to win the war and keep overall peace in the land. The great thing about Saint Brigid is that many of her stories are still told. They're still talked about. And Brigid the goddess as well. They're still talked about, still celebrated. When I was growing up as a Catholic, today or this week would mark Candlemas, or Candlemas, as Brigid is the patron saint. She was born with fires out of her head, fire coming out of her head, and thus that helped her connect with the cosmos. And when she was a babe, she drank from the milk of a sacred cow that came from the underworld. And that is why milk is used to help them concentrate on the meanings of why the season was so difficult. Winter is a harsh time. Milk kept them going. The milk, the meat, the sustenance, the life-giving sustenance. And that is why she is associated with all of those things. Smithing as well. Working with your hands, crafting. She is said to have two sisters. So there was Brigid the goddess, Brigid the smith, and Brigid the poet. She was also Brigid the healer, Brigid the wise, and Brigid the mother. Brigid comes from a different line of things. She was born in 450 AD by pagan parents, and her father was very upset with her and almost actually wanted to sell her to a warring tribe because she was very giving. As a matter of fact, she gave everything away. Everything. The clothes on her back, all of her father's jewels, his swords, his armament, everything. She just gave it to the poor. He was not happy. However, the Pope, who was a blessed man at the time, obviously, saw the holiness within her, and as she got older, gave her a church, whom she called Kildara, which is the church under the oak. Now, this is also the same place where the well of Brigid is. So, of course, you're going to keep both things together. When you look at both Brigid and Saint Brigid, the similarities are a little too close together to be able to say that they're enough apart. I've studied Saint Brigid and Brigid for a long time because I am what they call a daughter of Brigid. Up until I was 14, I was going to become a nun. And I love Brigid so much that I even took her name as my confirmation name. Yeah, look at me now, I'm a pagan. So, but in this time I studied and I learned all about her and understanding that her and I had life-giving similarities. I, too, am what they would call a very giving person, almost to the point where I made my parents go bankrupt. I gave money to everybody, and it didn't care that we were poor. If you didn't have it and I did, it was yours. Ask anybody that comes to my house and they'll tell you when you come in, it's, hi, you want a plate? Are you hungry? Do you need anything? Is there anything I can get for you? This is my life. These are the things that I chose to do. I love writing. I love poetry. And I fell in love with it. I fell in love with the word, the rhythm of the word, the understanding. My husband will tell you that I am not a great grammarian and that I talk with a Brooklyn accent at times when I'm trying to prove myself correct. But she was a Smith that poets would say were her inspiration. In fact, there was a king of Ireland who offended her in her poetry. And he was killed. Don't mess with the Bridget. Around the Henge in Kildare, around the well and what they now have as the eternal flame in her at her church, was said to be guarded by a hedge that no man could enter. And the man would either be cursed, where he could not speak, he would die, or become cripple. Talk about your girl power. That's something I wouldn't mess with either, the hedge of death. But it's not uncommon for priestesses or nuns to keep vigil of these types of things. Look at the Vestal Virgins or Hestia, the hearth goddess. It's not uncommon. It's Indo-Asian, or European, I should say, but they still carry around these traditions. We still look at these traditions. We still make fun of Vestal Virgins. The point is that when you come to these types of things and understanding, you get to learn more about yourself as well. I studied her because I loved her. Eventually, she became my mother, in a sense, my spiritual mother. She's the one I talk to. She's the one I care for most. And she's the one that I thank every day, every time I can put my feet on the floor, even when it hurts. Especially when you get older, you know, arthritis kicks in, everything cracks. But listening to the still small voice of her in my head and in my heart is what made me decide to choose her as my mother. Born and raised in an Irish household, I understood certain things. We got to understand a lot about our Irish heritage. In a time where Brigid mourned the loss of her son, she invented keening. Now, I don't know if you know what keening is. Christian, do you know what keening is? It is. It's a lament. It is a funerary lament. It's like a cross between singing and mourning at the same time. And I remember my father, he used to do a lot of the cooking on Sundays, and he would often sing. And I remember, though I don't remember the name of the song, I remember part of the words, and it was, the women would go keening, following the wave of the people that were gathering down beside the grave. And I never understood what keening was until I read about St. Bridget and her inventing it. Losing the loss of a child is something that I would never wish on my worst enemy. Having lost a brother at 20, I understand, when I practically raised him. It was like losing one of my own, which, knock on wood, tootsa tootsa, that never happens. But in this form of mourning, I understood. Keening was the songs that I was singing in my heart. It was the song that I had when I mourned the loss of my friends, when I mourned the loss of my brother, and when I realized who I finally was and accepted the goddess as my savior. I keened the song of my heart and praised her. And then I became a daughter of Brigid in my heart. And I love her. And I know that she loves me back. Many years ago, well, I should say in ancient times, when it was getting ready at this time of the year to till the fields, prepare them for the coming planting season, what they used to do is they used to slaughter the last cow born of the season previous year, and in its blood they would mix milk. Now, obviously, I'm not going to use any blood, but I do have milk up here, and it's almond, so it's vegan. But if anybody has brought their seeds up, and I normally do Brother Richard Knugin on in bulk, but if anybody saw the little email that was sent out, if you had seeds, I would be happy to bless them. If you don't, that's okay. You're more than welcome to bring them to our in bulk ceremony on February 3rd, and I'll leave them in the fellowship hall if you just want to drop them off over the course of the week. The old women of the village would spread the milk and the blood all over the fields. They would walk in rows. The men were the one that tilled it. The younger women would take care of the children, and they would get the seeds ready. So they would make sure that they were going to be able to germinate. They made sure that they were good seeds, no mold was on them. So they really took care of these things and did it right and blessed their fields to make the harvest healthy for them, to make the ground healthy and nutrient rich. And they would even pour honey on certain things, their wheat, for example. They would pour honey, and they absolutely believed that pouring honey would make the bread sweet. Now, we all know that that's not true, but that's what they believed. And it helped me see and understand why they did it. Blessing the ground before I put my seeds in it is going to help ensure that I'm going to have a good crop. You bet your buppy I'll do it. If the gods told me to do something back then, that's what I did, and I didn't do it with a question in my heart. I understood. We all do that today. I hope that all of you have a blessed in bulk. May your harvest be strong. May your fields be fertile. And in the goddess's name, I bless you all. Blessed be.